What's up, Performance Marketer Nation? How are you guys? Coming to you from Quarantine Nation. Yep, we're all still stuck in our house. But today I'm going to talk about something that is near and dear to my heart, which is the ability to have a bulletproof vest no matter what happens in the world, any recession, or if you're quarantined in your house. I'm going to talk about the one thing that all of the people that are having success online have in common. So stand by and listen up. I spent the last 17 years building my eight-figure performance business without using any of my own money, working with some of the most brilliant direct response marketers in the world today. Now I'm looking for entrepreneurs to join my affiliate army, built on ethics, transparency, and good old hard work. Join me to change the perception of how people view the greatest business in the world, affiliate marketing, and follow along as I learn, apply, and share performance marketing strategies working with some of the brightest people on the planet. My name is Eric Beer, and welcome to the Performance Marketer Podcast. I was thinking about it this morning, and what I've realized is some people, they're struggling, they're scared, they're having financial stress, climbing every day, like bigger and bigger, to a point where they're just so anxious about what's going on. And then on the other hand, I have some people telling me that April was their best revenue month of the year, and that May is looking stronger. Like for my business, yeah, like there's advertisers that have pulled budgets. There are people that either lowered their budgets or their budgets are paused for the next few months, right? And it sucks when that happens, right? However, there are other pieces of our business that are outperforming that we are actually doing better. Now, the hope is that that stays. And then when the other advertisers come back, boom, here we go, right? And we're in a good spot. But either way, you can't harp on losing business. You just got to go and find more. You got to figure out what's going on. So for me, what I really want to talk about here is one, trying to get your mindset right, which is something that I got from sports. And ultimately, when I played sports, there were times where I would struggle, especially like in a game when I was playing, let's say, I was 0-for-4 on the day. First game, I'm in a doubleheader. And the second game, I'm 0-for-4. And now I'm having a miserable day. I haven't gotten a hit with 8 plate appearances. And now I'm coming up to the plate in the last inning. There's a man on second base. There's 2 outs, and I need to get a hit. I can't be thinking about the 8 at-bats that I just got out on and didn't do well on. I have to compartmentalize what's going on in my mind. I need to focus on the now, on the moment. If I get that hit right then and there, the guy on second base is going to score and my team is going to win. And this entire day that I felt miserable and looked at it as a failure personally would completely 180 turn around. I would have gotten a hit to help my team win the game. And I would look back on that being like, that was a great day, right? So I take that approach to my life and my business. And I encourage you guys to do the same thing. If things are down, all right, well, oh well. If things didn't go well in the past, well, it is what it is. You can't change the past. And you can't start thinking about the future because you don't know what the future holds. So my advice to you is just start to focus on right now and literally start making things happen right now today because you can do it. Just focus on you and what you want to do right now and do it. Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. And that's a way for you to go out to the market and for you to be able to start to change things and make things happen. That brings me back to, why are some people miserable right now, scared out of their wits, and having financial stress. Where on the flip side, there's people that are having great months. Their business couldn't be better than ever, and they're scaling. Well, obviously there's something going on that is working. So what do you do? You want to do it, but you're not really sure. So what do you do? Well, the first thing is you start to just open your eyes and start paying attention. Start looking around at what are they doing? How are they doing it? What's working? If you can't figure it out, start reading. Start scrolling on the internet. Start looking around for what are people advertising, right? In some cases, there's people that are cutting their budgets. In other cases, there are people that are increasing their budgets, taking advantage of this opportunity. Who are those people? People aren't spending money just to spend money, and certainly not in the direct response space. And that's the beauty of my business is if you see somebody spending a lot of money, that means it's backing out for them somehow. How they're doing it, you need to figure out. Sometimes there's a front end and there's a back end, so you got to figure out what the model looks like. But if they're spending money, that means it's working, right? And that's why there's so many people in the space that will hack others, right? That's why you want to sign up for people's email lists to watch what they're doing when they're sending out marketing messages to you. That's why when you're on Facebook, in your Facebook feed, you want to look at the advertisements that are coming your way. When you go to Google, who's advertising at the top in your market? You need to know your competitors. You need to know everything that's going on in your space so that you can, one, be in the know, and two, you can try to find an edge. Maybe you want to do some of this stuff. Maybe you're struggling. You're not really sure how, but what does all these guys have in common? What's working? What are they doing? Right? And like, okay, fine. Maybe someone's going to say, I'm going to help you with a seven-figure business, eight-figure business, a passive income. That's all. To me, it's so unrealistic because there's so many things that need to happen for you to get there. So it's hard for someone to say, hey, my seven-figure business and how I'm going to get you. Like, let's slow down for a second. All right. Let's just start with a basic, simple step one of what is it that I need to do to get there. So the thing is that right now, with what's going on in the world, I'll give you some concepts of what I see and where there's people that are struggling, but then there's people that are doing really well. Just to give you some insight on my personal business, when I drive traffic to our lead forms, the conversion rates have increased by over 20%. Our click rates in the email are up. Our open rates are up in email. Our click rates on our third-party monetization products, where we help sites make money when users leave, has increased over 10%. All of these numbers are going up. Registrations for webinars are skyrocketing. The show-up rate for when someone registers to the webinar is higher than ever. There's like 40, 50% show-up rates at times. And there's experts out there today who have been running webinars for a very long time, right? They all believe in the webinars and they've been running their webinars for a long time. However, here's a sign. They're all doing it live. Now, anybody that's in the space that's been doing this for a little bit realizes, okay, yeah, Russell Brunson's got a webinar, but it's a replay. Now he's doing a webinar once a week, every Thursday. I have other people that are doing webinars twice a week live. So what's going on? Why? Because it's working. Because people are home, people are stuck inside, and they're consuming content. They're reading, they're showing up. There's things that are going on that you can take advantage of. So not to put pressure on you, because I know that feeling. It's like, oh my God, everybody's making money with a webinar. Or everybody's, I got to do it. No, you don't. You got to do what you got to do. You got to stay in your lane and focus on you with where you're at, because maybe you're not ready for that, and that's okay. But the thing is you got to start somewhere. My question, which I led this off with, was, what is the one thing that they all have in common? All the influencers, everyone that's running these webinars, everyone that is out there increasing their business, getting response rates, that are off the charts. They're posting it all over the internet. You could see them everywhere. What do they have in common, right? What does Frank Kern have in common with Russell Brunson, with Peng Joon, Alison Prince, and Dean Graziosi? What do they all have in common? I'd love for you guys to guess. Anybody that's been listening to me should know this already. But I'm going to tell you the one thing, okay? The one thing they have in common is every single one of them has an email list. They have a customer list. They have the ability to wake up today, decide that they want to go live in 6 hours from now on their Facebook handle, that they're going to send out a note to their list and say, guys, I identified something. I'm going to go live at 4 o'clock Eastern to talk about it. Show up and learn what I'm doing right now. They press send. That message could go out to, depending on how big their list is, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000, right? And immediately you're in front of their face. How much did that cost them to do? Well, they've been building their business over time. They've already made their money back from however they acquired those emails. And now anything they get from those people moving forward is 95% or more profit. Yeah, you got some mail costs and things like that, but it's nowhere near the cost of you going in and buying a click on Facebook or buying a click on Google or YouTube. If you want to reach that many people, if you want to reach 20,000 people, let's say you're paying 50 cents a click. You just spend 10 grand to get your message out to people that you're going live at 4 o'clock. Does this make sense? The best part is the number one most valuable thing in your business is your customer list. That's the asset. That's everything, guys. That's everything. And it's interesting because I've been generating leads for almost 20 years now, maybe more. And I never realized that if I teach people how to do that, that someone would pay for that. And like I'm telling you guys, I'm starting to identify trends. And I'm starting to identify that there are more people out in the world that do not have lists that need lists. And some of the people that I talk to who need lists, they don't know where to start. They don't know how to do it. It's really interesting. A friend of mine who I'm working with, who's been on the show, his name is James Friel. He and I were talking last week, and he said something to me, which was called the genius paradox. And what he said that meant was, when somebody works hard at something to a point where they're really good at it, or they just have the God-given talent, then they think that because it comes easy to them, that it's easy to everybody. And because they think it's easy to everybody, they decrease the value of what they know, the knowledge they have, and that is one of the internal struggles that most people have that they need to overcome to get to a place to realize that maybe what you know, other people don't know. And maybe even if you show them how to do it, they still, it's just not registering nearly as good as it is for you. For me, I had something like this. Like I played baseball my whole life. I'll tell you a story. My junior year in college at the University of Maryland, I played that season, starting center fielder in Division I ACC baseball, right? It was great. Loved it. But I hurt my back. I played through it at the end of the year. I was stemming and icing and just, I was struggling, but you know, I just wasn't sitting out. I would get tingling down my left leg. The game would be over and I'd have to sit in bed and just ice. And when the season ended, I went to a doctor and ended up having a herniated disc in my L4, L5. And that summer, I ended up getting surgery and spent the entire summer in a bed. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, spent every day with me. She wanted to kill me, but immediately, like right then and there, it was over for her. She was, I was, I was hanging out with her forever at that point. But the point I'm making is I got hurt. I sat out. That following year, I redshirted. I didn't play because I was hurt. And when I came back to play that following summer, which was the first time I picked up a bat, something crazy happened to me. I started to play. I was in a wood bat summer league, and it was good talent, good players, but you know, I was good too. And I would get up and someone would pitch me a fastball right down the middle of the plate. Maybe it's 90 miles an hour. And that's fast, but when you're focusing at anything and you're working hard, then you know, where it sounds crazy to one person, to the people that are in it that are working their butt off to get to be the expert in that category, a fastball down the middle of the plate, 90 miles an hour, I should be demolishing. If I'm not hitting a home run, I'm hitting a very hard ball into the gap, line drive that might be caught, something. And I would swing and I'd miss the ball. I would look at my bat and almost think there was a hole in it because I was missing it. And what happened was I took off a year. All the muscle memory that I was working to have from when I was a little kid playing baseball up, start at five, and now I'm in my, you know, my 20. So I've been playing for 15 years. My body, everything came easy to me, and I lost all of it. It was scary. It was really scary. It really took me back to a place where it was just, oh my God. Oh my God. What? I just thought I was born with it, right? And listen, everybody has talent, right? You're smart, but you got to work at stuff to be good. You got to work real hard to be great and to be the best. It's discipline and work ethic. Well, bottom line is I ended up playing that whole summer. I came back and it was a big road back for me. It took me a long time to the point where I wasn't even starting on my team at my last year ever in college, where there's three outfield positions. I wasn't even starting. I remember going to practice before we were heading down to Florida for our first games. It was the ACC versus maybe like the Pac-12, where we were going to go play like Oklahoma, Texas, and Oklahoma State. And I remember a practice right before we left, and the coach put the whole starting team out, and then the reserves played against the starting team, and I was on the reserve team. And I got to tell you, I was like, not happy. Like I'm thinking maybe I'm going to play professional baseball. I'm going to move on. And all of a sudden I'm not starting on my college team. I can't even start on there's three spots in the outfield, right? Even if I don't play center, there's somewhere you find me. I remember going home and like calling my mom and dad and just being upset about it. Like to the point where I was just like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Facing adversity. Well, there was nothing I could do other than put my head down and focus and try to win that position back, right? I mean, me crying about it ain't gonna do anything. Well, we end up flying down to Florida and there's tons of scouts. We played in the Atlanta Braves minor league stadium. It's in Disney World in Orlando. And it's like the wide world of sports or something. And each team had to go around and take batting practice. And there was a bunch of like pro scouts watching each team, taking notes. And when I jumped in to the cage to hit, you get about 8 to 10 balls, right? First few, the coach wants you to bunt down the left side, bunt down the right side. Great, bunt, bunt. Then they want you to hit the ball the other way. So I was a lefty, so I would spray a few line drives over the shortstop set. Then hit a ground ball to the right side. The idea is to focus on moving the runner over. So if somebody's on second base, no outs, hit a ball to the grounds to the right side, guy runs to third, right? So I do that. And then you swing away for about 5-6 swings. And in those 5 or 6 swings, I hit about 3 that went over the fence, 2 gappers, and then another just like hard line drive up the middle. And I popped out, right? And I was working real hard to get back from that summer where I couldn't hit to a point where I'm now trying to win my job back and get to this place and I'm not even starting. And all of a sudden, when I walk out, I see, after I'm done hitting, a bunch of scouts run over to my coaches and start asking about me. And my coach went into the lineup right before the game started and crossed out somebody's name and put me in as a starter. From not playing to just, instead of whining about it, just doing whatever I could that I could control, I ended up getting an opportunity to play. And I took advantage of it. And that season, I played every single game. I was the only guy on the team to play every single game, most at bats. And I had a good season, a real good season. At one point, I was in the top five in average for hitting in the entire ACC. And then I had one down weekend against North Carolina where my average went from like 385 to like 330. And I was like 50 points because I went like 1-for-17 or something crazy like that. But the point is that I walked away from that season in a way where I faced adversity and I had that quote unquote genius paradox where I thought baseball came easy to me and it didn't. I just worked so hard that I didn't realize. Yeah, I mean, I had the potential, but to get to where I was, I needed to work my butt off. And that was a huge lesson for me for everything that followed in my life. And I take that same approach to everything that I do. And I hope for anybody listening to this that's in a place where you don't think you could do something, I'm telling you, you're wrong. It's just a matter of you working hard at it and wanting it enough because it's possible. And you see people doing things that have been practicing at something and focusing on something for so long, that's why they're so good at it. If you were doing it for that long, I promise you, you'd be as good, maybe give or take. So when you're looking at this and you're comparing yourself to other people, don't. It's not fair. It's not fair to do that. You're not comparing apples to apples. So when you're going down this path of what you're looking to do, you got to stay in your lane and talk to yourself and realize, all right, I'm just starting, or I'm just trying to do this, or I'm trying to buy Facebook ads, but I've never done it before. I'm trying to build a funnel, but I've never done it before. Or I've been building a funnel for a little bit, but it's just not really working. Well, then you got to find somebody that's doing it the right way and then emulate what they're doing, right? That's the whole idea of this business. And the one thing that you need to do is you need to have an email list. You need to build your list. You need to be able to communicate with people. And that is the number one thing for every business and the ability for you to own your media, the ability for you to have some control. You don't have control. Respectfully, the influencers out in the world who are huge, they're awesome, people that have 50 million followers on TikTok, right? My kids are loving TikTok. I'm trying to play with it a little bit, but I just, I'm not the dancing guy. It's kind of funny, but I see people doing it on TikTok and they're doing well. Rachel Peterson's killing it. But the thing is that TikTok can close tomorrow and those followers are gone. Your YouTube followers, your Facebook group, your Facebook page. On your Facebook page, if you post something, you still need to boost your post for your entire group to see it. They only show it to a portion of your group. So you could build up a group, or I'm sorry, of your page of like, let's say you have 10,000 people following your page. When you post, let's say, an announcement of what you're doing, maybe 1,000 people see it, maybe 500. And for the rest of them to see it, you need to pay. You need to pay Facebook. So, I mean, things like that, that's where it gets frustrating. That's where it's hard, right? So what do? You build your list. I had a talk with Stu McLaren last week. He was on this show. He's got a masterclass training called Tribe. It's all about memberships. It's all about clubs. And as I was talking to him and we started getting into it, the more and more he said got me thinking that I need to have a membership. I need to have a club. I should start that. And just like anybody else, you're like, oh, what's it going to be about? What am I going to do? And Stu said to me, Eric, I don't know why you're even like thinking for a second on if you can have a membership, because every company in the world, if they are alive, needs leads. And that's what we've been doing for 20 years. That's what we've mastered. He's like, anybody would pay to be able to learn how to drive leads. Even the people that know how to drive leads, they're still always looking for an edge. They're still always looking for that new thing, that next thing, that way to generate more leads on the front end to feed your business. So we started talking about it and I started thinking. And I've been doing this for about a year now. I've been signing up for people's programs and there's a lot of really good content out there, almost too much. It's like overwhelming to a point where one of the things that's frustrating is that there's so much content that you need to consume to make something happen. And a lot of these courses are either 30 days of every day with hours, or it's 6 weeks and you gotta watch videos and focus and get into it, right? And I get it. Listen, you can't, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. So the fact that you just wanna learn like in 2 seconds isn't gonna happen. However, you could simplify things. There's things that are essential, and then there's things that are the bells and whistles. It's like when I was a kid and my dad would come home and bring me, as a surprise, the latest new Madden football game for PlayStation. And I'd be so excited, I'd open up, I'd pop in the disc and I'd start playing. I wasn't reading the directions. No way. I was grabbing the remote and started playing. But what I would do is I would look at the directions and I would look at what are the three most important things that I need to know that will allow me to win. And what I tried to do is simplify it. I didn't realize it then, but thinking about it now, it's what I'm trying to do with this, what I'm going to do with this list building club is I want to simplify it. I want to take the essential stuff that people know. You don't need to be an expert. There's no reason why you need to be an expert, certainly not in the beginning. And I want to have like one strategy a month where I'm going to show people how to generate leads and work with them with clear success path where you can build up your list. So you could be somebody that doesn't have a list and no following, and you could be part of this club. You could be somebody that doesn't have a list and has a huge following, and that's even better because you'll be able to take some of the strategies that I have and show it to your following. But you can do it both ways. You can be somebody that has a small list, under 10,000 names, and wants more, wants to learn more strategies, wants to build up their list, or somebody that has over 100,000 names and wants to scale. Either way, I've generated 50 million leads plus. I have so many different ways to do it. But I'm thinking that I'm gonna start to introduce some of the things I was planning to do later when I launched Survey Detective, because a lot of the things that I've done have been with surveys, quizzes, contests, things like that, that I know work, that I do for myself. Stu got me to realize that I could have a club, I could have a membership before the platform comes out. And he's convincing me to now launch what he calls is a founding members launch. So I'm gonna do that. And the concept is around people that join will be part of the founding members, with full disclosure that I'm gonna build this as I go. I mean, I know how to generate leads. I'm already generating leads, so I'm not worried about the deliverables and the respect of what do I come up with, because I've got plenty. But what I see, and I get the insecurities because I understand it, is the deliverables on, oh, how do I have a site? Or what about do I need it in PDF format? And how do I get it to the person? Well, what Stu says, and what I love about this is it's new and it's going to form its own culture. And the people that join as founding members, they get to help with you creating that culture. They get to get in at a price that you'll never offer again. And you grandfather those people in to a point where when you raise your prices, that as long as they're still active members, they will always pay that same amount from the day that they got in. And the ultimate goal is to create some momentum and, more importantly, have some success, results. Bottom line is, I don't care what anybody says. If you're selling a program, if you're selling a coaching program, if you're teaching somebody something, well, you got to set expectations of what success path they're going to take and what does a win look like. Because if people are paying you, but they're not implementing what you're teaching them, not that it's your fault, but it's a problem because they need to grow. The idea is you need to help people grow. And if they can then generate revenue off of what you're teaching them, they can build their business off what you're teaching them, then they too can afford more, to pay you more, to get more value out of you, right? The more value you give, the more you can charge. We all know about high ticket. The idea here is this isn't going to be high ticket. This is opening a window of people to come in. I'm not going to limit how many people, but I am going to limit the window of when it's available. And I don't need a ton of people. I know that it works. What I need to do is I need to make it so simple for somebody to be with me. And we're going to focus on this one simple strategy a month with the goal of generating 1,000 leads a month, 10,000 leads a month. It really depends on you and where you are in your business, but you need to set clear goals. And we're going to attain those goals because what's going to happen is you're going to build your list up. You're going to start to generate qualified leads. And then you take those qualified leads and you're going to convert them into customers. So there's a lot of people out there that get visitors, but they're not turning them into leads. We're going to change that. And I'm going to bring a lot of strategies that I've been using for the last 20 years and 50 million plus emails that have been generated to my founding members, my performance marketers. I'm going to turn you guys into performance marketers. I'm going to turn you into building an asset for your business to the ability where you now can control your business. You can control the messaging that goes to people that want your messages. If you treat people right, if you give them value, if you add value, they're going to hang around. But if you don't, they're going to leave. They're going to unsubscribe. So it's not as simple as just generating leads. There's a lot of different types of leads, different quality of leads. There's a different mindset of where you're getting them, right? A lot of people work with their warm leads. Those are people that know you. Those are people that you already have made an impression on them and they'll respond to you. But what about the cold leads? What about generating cold leads and then nurturing them and converting them into customers? That's the way you scale your business. And I'm going to show you how to do that. So I'm going to stay with the name Performance Marketer. And until Survey Detective comes out, we'll use the Survey Detective 1.0 version that's not in the market yet, but it helps me build quizzes and surveys and assessments. It has all those capabilities. And the focus is going to be on list building. The focus is going to be on generating high quality, low cost list building. And I know the stuff that I do works. So the plan is to get some people in, help them grow their list, brag about how they're growing their list to everybody else so they realize that it works, right? Proof. Bottom line, proof, results. You can talk about anything you want. The best marketing material you can have is case studies of people that are doing what you're telling them and they're finding success. That's how you grow your business. You don't have to do anybody favors. You don't have to run around and be nice to people just because, even if you don't like them, like, it's great. Like, you know, building up your authority, being an influencer is great. It takes a long time, right? And there's only so much you can say for somebody to start to trust you if you're telling them that this is the way to do it. You need credibility. Well, results are credibility. That's how somebody who isn't known doesn't have a following, but focuses on driving results, all of a sudden starts getting known. That's how you're at a show and all of a sudden you see this one guy who's an affiliate who's driving all these sales for this, for ClickFunnels, and all of a sudden he's known. And you didn't know anything about him until he started to drive sales for ClickFunnels. And then people started caring about him, then taking notice because he was able to drive sales, right? You want to get on the page of big influencers, reaching out to them and trying to talk to them and trying to do things for them and sending them gifts. Yeah, it's fine, but the fastest way for them to notice you is for you to deliver for them, is for you to build up an audience that then you have the ability to get them in front of your audience. The game is, yeah, like it's great if you have a podcast. It's great if you have Instagram and Facebook and all these other channels, YouTube. But that's why you look at how many followers do they have, right? And some people inflate it. So then you have to look at not just the followers, you got to look at the engagement. So if you want to understand how engagement works with engagement percentage, you should look at when somebody posts, you should look at how many followers do they have, and then divide the number of likes by the followers, or divide the number of comments by the followers. I would say likes are good for engagement. I'd say comments are better. That's real engagement. People commenting, sharing, how many shares? So someone's willing to promote and push because whatever you just did, they thought was awesome. And now they want to share it with others. That's powerful. Those are great ways to get in front of influencers. But still, at the end of the day, the way that you're going to do it is when you build up your business, you build up your list, and then you have an audience that you can now share their stuff with your audience. That's how you get Tony Robbins to hang out with you, right? Or anybody for that matter. If that's your goal, well then build your business, build your asset, help people, make an impact financially, change your life, make more money, and then you'll be able to meet all these other influencers that you want to hang out with, because they're going to want to hang out with you because of your list. So when they have a promotion and they're trying to sell a book or they're trying to drive their own memberships, that's where you come in. And if you have their audience, if you have 100,000 people that you can promote to, yeah. And that's why if you guys look at some of these affiliate programs where, you know, like Stu just had his for Tribe, he opened for 5 days. And I think Russell Brunson came in second, okay? He wasn't even on the leaderboard when it started. He sends one email. He goes live on his channel one time the night before it ends. And all of a sudden, he goes from maybe middle of the pack to coming second overall in the entire affiliate program because he has that huge following. He doesn't have to go all over and promote and buy media. He literally can press send. He can press send and drive traffic directly to Stu's offer, right? People know him, so then he can offer some bonuses of his own when you sign up for Stu's offer. He could send out a note saying, hey, I'm gonna do a training, so come meet me. Free training on how to build a membership and why memberships are awesome, and talk about the subject of what it is that he's selling. And all of a sudden, he's killing it. And that's ancillary revenue for him. That's just side money, right? That's the beauty of it, is as you start building your business up, it's like the snowball effect. It's like a snowball rolling down the hill just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right? It's like when you start exercising, you start losing some weight, work's going well, your relationships are going well, you feel good, healthy, right? It's all good because you're just in a good state of mind mentally, right? And then everything's kind of like happening and more things start to happen. You're in a good mood, you're in a good place, right? When you're in a bad place, it just feels like, you know, just the hits just keep on coming, right? So the point is, and I can go on for hours about this because this is my game, this is my jizz, this is it. I love it. There's so many different ways to do it. I'm gonna have a list building membership, have a founding member launch. You know, they say to do it for just one day. Maybe I open it up for like 2 or 3 days. I might do it before this actually airs. So if you're listening to this and you want to be a part of it, you can message me and I will make an exception. So if I launch my founding members window and that window closes by the time you listen to this podcast, you can come to me and refer to this episode and then we can talk. If you do it within the next month, right? Because I'm not going to do it in 2 years from now. 2 years from now, this is going to be a completely different ballgame. You know, I was working with the UI guys today and the backend developers for the Server Detective platform. The one that we're looking to roll out, it's taking a lot longer, but it's dope. You know, we're trying to just get that first one out and not get too caught up in the bells and whistles of putting like the like awesomeness onto it. But the thing is that you got to put the essentials in first. The core essentials of what we need is the first step. We can always add stuff. I keep trying to tell these guys that and myself because I fall victim to getting in too deep down that rabbit hole of the stuff that I want, but it's really not, it's not critical to me being able to roll out this first program. So yeah, I mean, when that happens, it's going to change everything because then I'm going to have a platform. In addition to me showing you how to generate leads, I'll have the vehicle and the tool, right? Right now, the vehicle is me training you. And the people that come in now, we'll let you use the Server Detective platform that I'm going to use. And when Server Detective launches, it's going to be way more expensive because it's going to be a combination of my time, my knowledge, with my system. This club right now is my time, my knowledge, which is worth a lot. We talked about this, like people have to get over the hump of the value that they bring. Like I know that I bring value. I know my stuff works. You know, I don't even want to convince people. You know, I feel like the people that say yes are the lucky ones that they get to do it. Maybe they don't even realize what they're getting themselves into. But the things that I'm going to show people work, hands down. It's not a test. It's not a, I hope it works. It works. 50 million leads. It works. There's a process. There's certain ways to do things. There's certain ways to do things on the front end. You know, mastering the art of lead gen doesn't happen overnight. That's the beautiful thing about it. I could tell some people about what to do, and I'd say 1 out of every 1,000 really gets it. I could show you everything. There's just so many nuances to it that you need the help, right? There's the front end, there's the targeting of who you're going after, once they're coming through, how you're qualifying them, what's the hooks, how do you get them to sign up, how do you evaluate, how do you segment, how do you know how to separate the people that are going to engage with the people that are wasting your time, how do you indoctrinate them, what's the messaging, what's the copy. I don't overwhelm you, but it's a lot. It's not, that's why people have these 6 week courses and 8 week courses. It's a lot, but you got to start somewhere. And building your list, you will always have that list. And you don't need to have all that other stuff. Once you have a list, you just have to then talk to people and show them that you have some value to add. You'll build up trust with them that way without having to have any of these bells and whistles of understanding the marketing genius of what all these people are doing out in the world. That's where I think people get a little lost. You don't need to do that. You focus on what you're good at, right? And you align yourself with people that are good at the things that you need. So I think I went on longer than I wanted today, but I love this stuff. This is it. This is great. List building is huge and people need it. I knew people needed it, but I didn't realize how bad people need it until a few people came to me. So I guess it's all aligning with me talking to Stu and him telling me to set this up as a membership, talking to a few people that needed my help to a point where this is going to be available to you. And yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be an awesome, awesome group in the making. The community is going to build off of these founding members. And I'm excited for it. So, all right, I'm going to let you guys go because I can talk forever. So I appreciate you guys listening in. Stay well. If you hear this and the founding members launch has already taken place, reach out to me and tell me the episode number that you listened to this and tell me the date that you listened to it. Because I want as many people in as I can, but I also want to get it right. And if I have 20,000 people, it's going to be very hard to cater to everybody. That's the biggest issue I have, is that I'm going to end up over-delivering and spending way more time than I should. That's why it's this, what do I charge? I want to charge something I'm not giving away for free. No way. I've already learned that lesson, that you give stuff away for free and people don't do it. I need to get people in that are going to commit, that are going to be disciplined and listen to what I'm telling them, and that's the only way they're going to see results. And I need them to pay something. So it's, what's that number, right? But I'm not giving it away for free because I know what the value is. But I don't want to charge way too much money. So what I'm thinking is I charge upfront a fee, and then I give them 30 days to see if they like it. And then if they like it, they can stay in, and the monthly charge will go up. And yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, think about it. If I can get you one client a month, what's that worth to you? If I can get you 500 leads, 1,000 leads, 10,000 leads a month, what happens if I can help you with cutting your ad costs in half? So maybe you are generating leads, but you're spending 20 grand a month, and now I cut you from acquiring a lead at $2 to $1. Well, guess what, guys? You can spend the exact same amount of money and get double the amount of leads, and that's a game changer. So I'm pretty pumped. I'm excited to see who takes this. I've talked to some people who are like, oh, tell me when. But like, until they pull the trigger, you never know. So we'll see. But with that said, performance marketers, the list building club is coming. So stand by. And I'll still be giving nuggets on this, but I'm going to be focusing more on my list building and talking about the strategies and leading up to the launch of Survey Detective. I'm going to start talking more about that, trying to help you guys out, and talking about the results that people are going to see. So I'm excited for when that happens, and I hope that's you. So with that said, appreciate your time. Appreciate you. Talk to you all soon. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Would you like to learn how I built my business using other people's money? If so, then go join my 21-day challenge at performancemarketersecrets.com. I look forward to meeting you and welcoming you into my family. And remember, results don't lie, but the people who don't have any do. Thanks for listening.